the last time I led share time here, I mentioned that I've been thinking about this concept of what we call buy-in. And by that I mean what percentage of buy-in, or, well, okay, let me say it this way. The question I was actually asking was what percentage of buy-in we have in this congregation. It resulted from a discussion with my brother. And I guess I'm still dieseling on that. By buy-in, I'm referring to the level of, shall we say, ownership or vision that each of us has as individuals for the life of this body. And by extension, how much are we willing to invest here? If you own a business or if you started an organization, like, say, Hands of Christ, you have a very high level of ownership in it. And you have a strong vision for it. Now, just picture yourself there and compare that with your level of ownership in or vision for other involvements that you're involved in. And I think you can understand what I'm talking about with this buy-in concept. Now, you can muse on that a bit while I proceed to make things a little uncomfortable here. Some of you may be aware that support for our Wednesday evening service is substantially lower than our support for Sunday morning services. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not here to discuss whether the Wednesday evening service is a good idea or not, or whether our format is right or not. And I'm not even here to give reasons for why you should come. And I'm not inviting justifications for why you shouldn't. I'm just making the observation that the attendance is often pretty weak. But not always. The spark for this opening came maybe a month ago when Marvin and Rosa, when their family had the Wednesday evening program. You'll remember Marvin's announcement there. He provided hot drinks and offered cookies if you'd bring them. Well, after that announcement, somebody in our family predicted that we would have door-busting attendance, relatively speaking. And interestingly, that prediction wasn't too far off. My best guess is that we had at least 50% higher attendance than the Wednesday evening before that, and maybe it was close to double. I wasn't counting. I remember another Wednesday evening a while before that when I remember noticing a larger-than-average attendance and discovered that some people had planned a food event after the service. I'm sure it was just coincidence, but I couldn't help noticing. I also remember a number of years ago when Joe and Twyla were on the food committee, and Joe announced that we were going to have a pie and ice cream carry-in the night we had our church ministries meeting, what we then called business meeting. People smiled, and we all knew what they were aiming at. And sure enough, it worked. As I remember, we had a significantly larger crowd that evening than we do at most of our church ministries meetings. Am I right, Joe? Where is he? Some of you might remember. Now, if you're seeing a common thread here, I suppose we're tracking. And I told you my point wasn't to promote the Wednesday evening service. Here is my point. If food brings us to an event that we wouldn't otherwise attend, we're making a fairly unquestionable statement about values, aren't we? In the cases that I've mentioned, if food tipped the scales for you enough to attend a service you wouldn't have otherwise attended, what does that say about the value of food compared to the value of other reasons for getting together, say spiritual input or relationship building? I'm not saying, you understand, I think, that anybody came to these events only because of the food. I'm just saying that for any event that we attend or any activity we do, we are, by our actions, saying that that event or activity was the most important thing for that time. It was more important than the host of other good events or activities we could have been doing. So if we don't attend an event, we are saying by our actions that something else was more important, even if we haven't deliberately discussed it or thought it through. I don't think that should come as a huge surprise to you. I hope it doesn't, because we are all doing this on a regular basis. Most of us wouldn't say, for example, that attending a Wednesday evening service is bad, would we? If we don't attend, we're simply saying that it wasn't the best thing we could have been doing with our time there for that slot. So back to that question about the value of food. If we come to an event because of the food, if food is making us say by our actions that this event was the best thing for that evening, then food has more influence on us than the potential for spiritual input or relationship building or whatever other reason we might have for getting together. Check my logic. That's the way I put it together. Now, I want to hasten to say that I'm not really shocked that food has that level of influence on us. The reason I say that is because I know myself. And I can assure you that I regularly struggle with letting food dominate my thinking or doing. I go on partial fasts sometimes, and I'm discouraged and frankly embarrassed with how easy it is for me to find justifications for fudging on those partial fasts. The goal of these fasts, as I perceive it, is to align myself with God and to humble myself before Him so that I can hear from Him more clearly. So when I fudge on a partial fast, when I put food ahead of that goal, then I'm making a statement about the value of food compared with the value of aligning myself with God's purposes and humbling myself before Him. Could I also observe that the more affluent and lazy and bored our culture gets, the more that food is going to dominate our lives? Isn't that ironic? I propose that the struggle to prioritize the eternal elements of our journey over these temporal elements is quite relevant to our service here today, as it is any service. Maybe I could say it this way, that we need to fit the temporal elements of life that are necessary and good in their proper position in the big picture. We need them. We can't do without food. We can't do without sleep. We can't do with, you name them. But they need to find their proper place in the big picture. To the degree that we allow these inputs, the inputs that we get this morning, to help us with that alignment, that prioritizing, to that degree, I think the morning will have been successful. Here's a statement I would like for you to evaluate. Sorry. I believe that worship is mostly about focusing our vision on and directing our energies toward an object. Consider that. Maybe you're thinking, well, I can't change the fact that I like food better than church, or whatever else you want to fit in there, food better than Bible reading, food better than you name it. I'd like to disagree with that, actually. I think we can change that. I'm becoming more convinced than ever that we can and we have to train our appetites if we're going to be disciples. Ultimately, we shape what we desire by choosing what we take in. And my feeling is that that's what's happening in Psalm 63. We don't know what David's situation was, more than that he was in the desert in Judah, but the way this psalm reads, that's the way I read it. He is choosing to shape his appetites. He is making a statement about where he wants his appetites to go. Let's read this. Psalm 63, and I'll read the first 7 verses. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Remember, he's in the desert of Judah. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. There's a statement of value. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. Let's kneel for prayer. Lord, we confess that in our weakened human state, in the struggle of keeping our bodies in subjection to our spirits, we really do listen to our bodies in idolatrous ways. And we want to learn, God, to listen to you in true worship. And to retrain our appetites to want you more than food, more than sleep, more than comfort, more than anything else that our bodies crave. Lord, our bodies aren't bad. We're not saying that. We know that you created us, but they've been twisted. Our minds have been twisted by the fall and by our exposure to the carnal world around us, and we just want to grow in sanctification. We want to grow in redeeming our bodies and making them do what you created them to do. And so, Lord, let our worship this morning be a sweet-smelling incense to you as we move toward that. In Jesus' name, amen.